The first case on our calendar is 03-622, Funtime Inc. versus Thomas Zeno, with Tax Commissioner, Mr. Domingo.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you for agreeing to hear this oral argument, a case of critical importance to the state. I'd like to reserve 6 minutes of my allotted time for rebuttal. In 1992, this court in King's Entertainment held that amusement park attractions consisting of a whitewater canyon ride and a roller coaster were real property. Those attractions are the same property at issue in this case. That same year in 1992, the General Assembly passed Senate Bill 272 shortly before this court's decision in King's Entertainment in providing statutory definitions for the enumerated categories of real property. The issue before this court is whether those 1992 amendments changed the result in King's Entertainment. Are amusement park attractions such as those in King's Entertainment still real property? The taxpayer says yes. The property at issue consists of attractions that are embedded into the taxpayer's property known as Geauga Lake. And I have brought with me two exhibits that are in the record before the court that reflect one of the items of property, Grizzly Run, which is a whitewater rafting ride permanently embedded into the ground. It's fabricated and constructed at the site. And then here's another photograph of that same Grizzly Run. Massive concrete riverbeds constructed at the site. Canyons, hills, also constructed at the site with concrete. Also at issue is a mind eraser, which is simply a roller coaster permanently embedded into the taxpayer's land through anchored concrete footers deep into
the
land.
How do those additions to the land serve the value of the land versus the business? Versus the business. You know that's one of the tests. Does the structure that's added to the land, does it add value to the land, or is it there primarily for the benefit of the business that constructed it?
Well, Your Honor, we would concede that the property at issue is there for the benefit of the land, but that is not the relevant test.
How does it benefit the land? I mean, if Funtime leaves the park, sells it, what benefit to the land is that structure?
Only a subsequent amusement park operator would be able to use this property. It is there for the particular business being conducted on the land. And I'd like to even address the statute. And the essence of the statute before Senate Bill 272, and now the statute after Senate Bill 272. As you can see, this is just a chart that illustrates what we have in this case. And before Senate Bill 272, there are four categories of real property: a building, a structure, improvement, and fixture. And the court looked to, there were no statutory definitions, so the court looked in some cases to the dictionary for the definition of a structure. And with respect to a fixture, applied the very old T. V. Hewitt case and Zangerman case, which focused on a chattel, something having independent value, being attached to the land and devoted to the general use of the land as opposed to the particular business being conducted on the land. There's a specific business use prohibition under the common law. The current statute, Senate Bill 272, repeats those same four categories of real property, but now we have definitions. And as you can see, the definition of fixture was brought over and codified, or the common law definition of fixture was brought over and codified into the definition of fixture here in the statute, repeating that it has to be a chattel, being commercial property, at the tax of the land, and also a business use prohibition. Contrasting that with the building and the structure, both are permanent fabrications or constructions, something that's built at the site, fabricated at the site. And then we have two different use tests. We have a shelter test for a building. For a structure, we have a test that it has to increase or enhance utilization or enjoyment of the land, which is something different than the business use prohibition test that's there for fixture. Now, this appeal involves essentially the same mistake that the tax commissioner made before Senate Bill 272 was enacted, before Senate Bill 272 was enacted, the tax commissioner and the Board of Tax Appeals, when determining whether something was real property, always applied the fixture test. If something was there for the business being conducted on the land, the tax commissioner and the Board of Tax Appeals would hold that that is personal property. But this court repeatedly, in many Supreme Court cases, and most recently in the Litton case, Litton Systems case, said that fixture analysis only applies to fixtures. We still have a structure that's enumerated in the statute.
Is it your view that these are structures, or
yes,
is it your view that these are fixtures?
It is our view that these are structures, that this property is structure, and that the tax commissioner is making the same mistake. The tax commissioner, and you can see it throughout the tax commissioner's brief and the Board of Tax Appeals brief, is adopting the fixture test, applying that to structures.
Well, then that goes back to the Chief Justice's point, whether or not these would enhance the utilization or the enjoyment of the land. Am I right? If they're structures, they'd have to do that.
Exactly. And maybe, I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood his question. I thought he was focusing more on the whether it was there for the particular business being conducted on the land.
Well, as I understand the definition of structure, it's something that's a permanent fabrication, but it must enhance or utilize the enjoyment of the land.
Exactly.
If that is your position.
Yes. And in terms of what that phrase means, what's it mean to increase or enhance utilization or enjoyment of the land, our position is that that is not referencing a business use prohibition. When the General Assembly wanted to use a business use prohibition, they clearly did that in the definition of fixture. So what does it mean for something to be increasing or enhancing utilization or enjoyment of the land? Where it's something that facilitates its utilization, is incorporated, embedded into the land, perhaps something very large, and that's in essence kind of married to the land. And good examples would be items such as an open air stadium, Crew Stadium. I don't think anybody would say that Crew Stadium, it's not a building because it doesn't shelter anything, but that's a structure because it increases or enhances utilization or enjoyment of the land. It's fabricated at the site, constructed at the site. That's our property. That's identical in relevant characteristics to the Grizzly Run, the Mind Eraser, and our skyscraper. And our position is that these massive, permanent, standalone fabrications or constructions that are embedded in the land, promoting further enjoyment or utilization thereof, are structures. They attract, this property attracts millions of people a year to the site to utilize the land in conjunction with this property. And stadiums.
Before you use too much of your time, I'd like you to comment on section 5701.03, which, as you know, defines personal property. Why doesn't this structure fit the definition of personal property, particularly business fixture?
Well,
primarily benefits the business conducted by the occupant on the premises and not the realty. That was the reason for my question. Doesn't this structure primarily benefit, put there to benefit the business that Funtime, for which Funtime is using the property? It doesn't benefit the property other than to benefit their business, does it?
Yeah, you are correct, Your Honor. It certainly benefits the business. But our position is you don't even get to the definition of business fixture because the definition of real property has always had priority in the statute. The Board of the Supreme Court has accepted that. The Board of Tax Appeals in this case has accepted that. And the statute didn't change anything. Admittedly, there is some degree of circularity in a statute, but you don't even get, even more importantly, you don't even get to the definition of a business fixture because that contemplates a fixture itself, some type of chattel that's prefabricated away from the site that's attached to the land.
But that's not the definition, because the definition says those portions under business fixtures, those portions
of buildings, structures, and improvements. It doesn't say just a fixture. It describes business fixture as building structures or improvements that are specifically designed. So even if you find something that's a structure, which seems to be your argument, you find it a structure, you end your case. But if you go to 03, it says if part of that building or structure then only primarily benefits the business, it is excluded.
Well, one of the problems is that then gives priority in the to the definition of personal property. And by doing that, then essentially all of this property, buildings, structures, if they have a business purpose, then become personal property. And it, more importantly, when you look at the definition of structure, it references property that can be used in business, that's commonly used in business. A storage silo for agricultural products is something that's used for business. This court most recently even recognized a very broad definition of agriculture and agricultural products. And so that is something that's used for business. Walls, fences are used for business. Again, we go back and that is referencing fixtures to begin with. Business fixture contemplates a fixture that is something, a separate chattel of independent value and significance that's attached to the land. Not something that's recognizing the wording in the statute that's permanently a permanent fabrication or construction at the site there that's increasing or enhancing utilization or enjoyment of the land. And I'd like to stop here, Your Honor, if I can.
But doesn't business fixture also mean a foundation or a machinery support?
I'm sorry.
In the statute it says, I think it says, that it also includes, it's not limited to foundations or machinery supports or equipment.
That's right. Those are business fixtures. But those contemplate all of that type of property is stuff that's prefabricated, then brought to the site and attached, consistent with the definition or common fixture analysis. Chattels brought to the site, attached.
And was this structure here not prefabricated?
No, it was not prefabricated. It was concrete was brought to the site, poured into to make the walls and the canyons and so forth. Everything was constructed at the site, Your Honor.
Thank you.
What relevance should we give to the Legislative Service Commission summary when 272 was enacted, saying that the General Assembly was trying to take the law back to what it was before some of the recent opinions of this court, and specifically said that it was an attempt to go back to the law, which analyzed it just the way we're asking the questions of you, that the adding value to the land versus the fixture or the addition being primarily for the use of the business.
Well, first, Your Honor, I would say that the relevant statutory language is clear, therefore it's not necessary to review anything outside of the statute. And there's nothing that tells us specifically as to the intent. There is the reference in the Legislative Service Commission, but all that does is discuss common fixture law. It references Zangerle. All of the cases that are discussed there are essentially fixture-type cases, and it does reference Zangerle. All that at most stands for the proposition is that the General Assembly intended to codify the common law definition of fixtures in fixture. The main problem we have then, Your Honor, with the tax commissioner's position is that if you take it beyond that, then you have special purpose buildings, Gund Arena being personal property, Crew Stadium being personal property.
Counselor, yes. You've brought pictures along of these items that you're talking about. Would you put those back up? And I'd like to ask you a question about them. This flume-type concrete, is that the entire item that that is the subject of today's?
Yeah, this is a component of Grizzly Run, as well as this is a component of Grizzly Run that also includes a building itself. A station house where patrons wait. And then we also have a mind eraser roller coaster and a very big skyscraper building that has a rotating room on top.
All right, and this was fabricated on site, this water ride. And the roller coaster is just anchored to the ground, but it's your typical roller coaster, I would imagine.
Yes.
All right, and then the other item was built on site, and what's its purpose?
It's a very big tower that the patrons enter in at the bottom. It rotates, it goes up to the top of the tower, and then you can view the countryside for a very large distance.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. D'Amico.
Thank you.
Mr. Perrin.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, initially I'd address a couple of points that Mr. D'Amico made. The fact that it's fabricated at the site is of no relevance. Machine foundations are obviously poured concrete at the site. You don't bring them and put them in. All of the items involved in the Zangerle line of cases, which we believe Senate Bill 272 took us back to, involved massive structures. One was an oil refinery, which had portions of which rose 100 feet into the air. One of them was a huge 340-foot concrete and brick and steel tunnel kiln. One of them was a massive rolling mill that weighed 950 tons and was embedded into large concrete foundations and piers that supported it. In each of those cases, the court found that under the appropriation to use test, that is whether or not the property was necessary or beneficial to the use of the land, independent of the business conducted on the land, that each of those items retain their nature as personal property. The Zangerle versus Republic Steel is an interesting case from that standpoint. It involved these massive foundations for the rolling mill, and the court pointed out that if that property was to be used for some other purpose, that structure would have to be torn down, the concrete foundations ripped up, and in fact it would not be a benefit to the land, it would be an encumbrance on the land. The same is true with respect to these amusement park rides. The amusement park rides, they are the equipment for the business. That's what people go to the park to do. They pay money, they pay an admission fee, which entitles them to use each and every ride and attend attractions at the park. If this property were to be used, as Mr. D'Amico conceded, if it were to be used for any other purpose, they would be of no use. And in fact, like the equipment and the property in Republic Steel, it would be an encumbrance because anybody else using it for another purpose would have to tear down that entire structure. It would have to rip up the white water ride. It would have to tear down the roller coaster. And that's the appropriation to use test. It's not solely whether it benefits the business. The statement in Zangerle, which 272 adopted in response to this court's later decisions, which had rejected the extension of Zangerle to structures, the point was they adopted the appropriation use test, which looked, and if you compare the language of the definition of structure in 272 with the statement in Zangerle of the appropriation use test, they're virtually identical. They both refer to the enhancement or increase in the use or benefit of the land. That's the important point here, and that's clearly a test that is not met.
But you can't distinguish between the use or benefit to the land and the use or benefit to the business, can you? That's really the question we're supposed to decide here, isn't it? Which is primarily benefit, the land or the business?
That's what the amended statute requires, Your Honor. That's correct.
Suppose we take it out of the context of amusement parks, and suppose we go to storage bins. If you construct a series of garages, is that for the benefit of the land or the benefit of the business, in your view?
Well, I think it would, you would look at the nature of the construction.
Would those be fixtures or structures, in your judgment?
I believe those would be structures. You might even argue they're buildings because they enclose and
but your argument about tearing things down would be defied because if you wanted to use that property for anything else, you'd have to tear them down because it wouldn't have any use for anything else.
Well, that's correct.
Well, that's the same argument you're making here. If you wanted to use this for something else, you'd have to tear it down.
Well, that's correct, Your Honor, and that would mean they're structures, but they're not structures under the definition of the statute because they don't enhance or benefit the use of the land. If what you have to do...
That's the difficulty I'm having. How do you tell if it's land or business that gets benefited?
If the test, if you go back to the Zangerle line of cases, the test is if the specific property, the items of property that are attached, are uniquely suited to the precise business for which they're attached, then it's found to benefit the business and not enhance use of the land. If those items could be used by successor businesses for other purposes, then they would be considered to be benefiting the land because somebody coming in to buy that property would say, that's worth more to me because they're on there. If a buyer comes in to an amusement park ride and wants to conduct some other business, he comes in there and he says, these don't enhance the value of the land. I'm going to have to expend money to tear them down. And I think that's the critical distinction.
Suppose you wanted to expand the business. Then they would be a benefit to the land, wouldn't they?
But it would be expanding that specific, unique business. And that's the key in these cases.
If you expanded the amusement ride business into the drama business and wanted to put in theatrical productions and use one as the adjunct for the other, would that be an asset?
Not to the land on which the particular amusement ride was erected. If you bought adjacent land, you have to look at what the value of it would be to the land on which it's situated. It's built on this specific land. If you would have to tear it down to use that land for some other business, then it would not qualify as property enhancing or benefiting the utilization or enjoyment of that land.
Is this concept of tearing it down for another purpose found anywhere in case authority or in the statute?
Well, the Zangerle versus Republic Steel case points out the fact that if somebody else came in to use it for another purpose, it would not be a benefit to the land, it would be an encumbrance to the land. I think that's the case that addresses it most clearly. Some of the other cases haven't analyzed it, and they just say, does it enhance the land? But I think if you go back to the early cases, the Zangerle line of cases, and there were a number of them within that 1945 to 1948 era, which established and detailed the appropriation to use test, that's where those holdings would be found.
Thank you.
Mr. Farron, I'm having the same problem that Justice O'Donnell is with the precise language of the statute. So my question, for starters, is, as we try to unwind and determine, is this taxable personal property or is it taxable as real estate? Where do we begin that search statutorily? Do we begin with the real estate section and does that control? Because the two statutes seem almost to define the same thing. So, which has priority?
Well, I guess the seminal case on what is a fixture or a structure is Tief versus Hewitt. And Tief versus Hewitt, repeated in Zangerle, stated that the presumption is that an item remains personal property unless it's clearly established it becomes real property. So I would assert that you look primarily, the presumption is it's personality. That's what's favored.
And we don't find that statutorily, though.
Well, I believe we do, Your Honor.
Where?
I believe if you look at the definition of real property in 5701.02a, it states that it describes generally what real property is, and then it states, unless otherwise specified in 5701.03, all building structures and improvements, so forth. So that tells us we look to 5701.03 to see if it's specified in there as personal property.
So our problem really begins, and to me probably ends, with whether you or counsel for the taxpayer are correct, and which statute do you look to first? Because I mean, in looking at these two statutes, easily find this is realty, if I'm looking at the real estate stat, if I have to look at that first.
Well, Your Honor.
At least some of it. Now, I would grant you the cars or the boats or lots of things employed to make this ride operate, the water ride, would be personally anyway. But if we start first with the real estate section, then...
Well, Your Honor, I'd like to go through that. The statute, which I believe will establish that this property is clearly personal property under a reading of 5701, 02, and 03. As I indicated initially, the very first part of 5701, 02 states, unless otherwise specified in 5701, 03. It's telling us to look at 5701, 03 first. But even before you get there, if you get down to the definition of structure, the definition of structure compels against any argument that this property became real property, because to be a structure, it must increase or enhance utilization or enjoyment of the land. This does not.
Why doesn't it?
People enjoy the ride. This isn't something where they go to, it's not a state park where they go to enjoy the land. This is an amusement park.
Well,
they pay money to ride rides.
I don't think you look at that test through the eyes of visitors to the property. You look at it through the eyes of owners, don't you? I mean...
Well, I think as I pointed out in answer to Justice O'Donnell's question...
Let's answer that question. That's fundamental, isn't it?
That's what I'm trying to get to. If somebody is going to decide whether that property, whether the rides on that property enhance the value of that land, look at it from a potential purchaser, because that's what we're talking about.
Well, no, I think we're talking about taxpayers. That would be the owner. And this owner surely thinks that improvement enhances the land that they own.
It enhances his business. He makes money from constructing the rides. That's where he makes his business, money.
Perry's Monument, you familiar with that?
Yes.
Is that real estate or personally?
I've seen it. I don't know what it's used for, Your Honor.
You go up and look around at the lake.
I would think that is probably because it shelters people, it houses people. It doesn't. It's not a ride. I would believe that would be realty.
I mean, you take an elevator, you ride an elevator.
Right, but it's an observation. You're there to observe things. That's the only purpose. So you don't.
Well,
it's not a ride. You get in line. You go up and down.
Differentiate that from the, I don't know what you call this thing, that you go up in and you look around.
The skyscraper. You wait in line.
Paris Monument.
You wait in line for a ride. You've paid your admission price to ride all the rides.
You do that at Paris Monument.
You get in line, you get on it. It's a rotating donut type of thing that goes around this needle, goes up to the top, goes up to the bottom, and you get off. It's a ride. This isn't something over the Grand Canyon or Lake Erie. This is an amusement park ride. Its purpose is not to house or shelter people.
Okay.
Its purpose is to take people up and down as part of a ride.
Now the roller coaster is to me, you're dealing with different things. The roller coaster, I think you've got a stronger case on. And I don't know about the skyscraper. I'm still thinking about that. But definitionally, it sure seems, if you start with the real estate section, that this poured concrete, I mean, we're looking at the picture of the wood structure there, that seems to almost fit into building. It provides shelter for people.
Well, Your Honor, the only thing at issue are the concrete, the flumes, the wooden structures are not at issue.
Right.
And besides, most of those, as the testimony showed, were aesthetic. They weren't used by people. It was to give the view of a river raft ride. They're not intended to shelter people. But I think what you need to do is go through the entire series. The fact that it's otherwise specified in 5701.03, you go to the definition of structure, which has the requirement that enhance or benefit the use of the land, and then you go down to, as 0201A tells us, go down to the definitions the personal property tax section, this definition of business fixture fits these like a glove. The definition of business fixture brings back the Zangerle test. And I don't believe that anybody can argue otherwise. It uses the exact language of the Zangerle test, and plainly, by its language, it applies not just to fixtures, but to structures, buildings, and improvements on land. It even states that it refers to the buildings, structures, and improvements that are specially designed, constructed, and used for the business conducted on the property. That's precisely what these are. They're specially designed and constructed for the amusement park business conducted on that property. They fit the definition of business fixture, and that really is the main part of the entire statutory amendment. That brings back the appropriation of use test, and it applies. This court had never refused to apply the test to fixtures. It refused to apply them to structures.
You need to sum up here. For
thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. Farron.
Mr. Domingo, you have 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. The wooden structures at issue do shelter, and they are at issue. And I just stress to the court, give effect to the language in the statute. Fabrication, construction, and the definition of real property and building, and different use tests for structure, different use tests for fixture, and this reference to benefiting the business, that is the fixture test of common law, being codified in the definition of common law. Distinctly different tests. We can't allow the tax commissioner to make the same mistake that they made before the enactment of Senate Bill 272. Where do you draw the line? Not recognizing these distinctly different definitions. It can't be reconciled in terms of everything from the tax commissioner's perspective. If it's used for business, is personal property, and that cannot be the case. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.